Hi, this is Sarah Knight, and today I've got Jennifer Hansen of Transforming Cellular Memory fame on the line. Jen is one half of the Dawn and Jen Hansen dynamic duo based in Texas, but they take their work all over the world. Having personally experienced the power of what they do and the incredible opportunity for making really deep and long-lasting changes in physical and mental health and overall well-being, I'm delighted to have this chance to talk to Jen and get a better intellectual understanding of how their work works. So welcome, Jen. Thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great. So look, we are just going to dive right in. Can you tell me, what is Transforming Cellular Memory?
Transforming Cellular Memory is a self-realization and enlightenment healing and training process that works with powerful transformational energies that come straight from the heart of the universe or the heart of the creator. And these energies, for whatever reason, when they penetrate your body and your mind and your soul, they begin to unravel everything that you have taken on at a cellular molecular level that you've inherited from your ancestors, all those imprints of trauma and stress and tension and atrocities and all the memories of things that they were unable to resolve during their lifetime, really for obvious reasons, mainly because it was too overwhelming to process and integrate just in their single lifetime. All of that memory or information that was unresolved gets pushed forward into future generations and really ends up culminating in who we think we are, our personality. We're raised in our families, our religions, our cultures, all of which have their own set of beliefs. So basically, a lot of who we think we are is in fact the culmination of a collection of traumatic history that we've inherited at a genetic, molecular, cellular level from our ancestors, from our cultures, from our political systems, all the way back, really, as far back as we could really imagine. I mean, if you really want to get into the what I would call the quantum physics level here, we, at a cellular level, carry the history of the evolution of our planet, or really of the universe at a cellular level, all in the form of intelligent memory. So obviously our bodies, as brilliant as they are, our conscious mind and our subconscious, we remember our lifetime for the most part, if we're lucky. We also at a subconscious level can remember back quite a number of generations and the atrocities and negative experiences that have happened over hundreds of years that we may or may not obviously have reference points for at an intellectual level, but yet we wonder why we have these different repetitive behavior patterns that just don't seem to shift. Even with alternative therapies or regular psychotherapy, we just can't quite get a hold of these things, mainly because they are locked into us at a very fundamental cellular level. And this work, the energies, these powerful energies that we have access to, all of us have access to, really, that Dawn and myself can bring through our channels for others, have a way of remarkably exposing, uprooting, and bringing to the surface everything that really is not who we are, not of our true nature. You know, our true nature is love, gratitude, acceptance, humility, joy, passion, excitement, and anything that's not that, really, we believe is part of that cloak that we take on when we're born into the world. It's part of that cloak of our cultures and our history that really has nothing to do with who we really are, although we often mistake it for who we really are.
Mm. Oh. And so tell me, hundreds of years of accumulated history that can be faced and cleared through transforming cellular memory, is that?
Absolutely. You know, Dawn and I were doing workshops for many, many years in Ireland. It's a perfect example of a country that has a very rich history. And yes, absolutely, when you first are exposed to these transformational energies in our process, they're going to begin to work on your most recent history. You're going to work primarily on the different traumatic experiences that you have accumulated in your own personal lifetime. That will be usually the first and foremost layers that will surface for you. But once you have invested time and energy in that purification of yourself, the light then begins to take you way deeper. You know, Jesus supposedly said, I wasn't there in person, but supposedly he said that the sins of our fathers get passed down for 7 generations. But we know in our work and research that it goes much, much farther. We have, after, especially when you're sitting in the light for 3 days in a row, for 5 days in a row in our retreats or seminars, and you've cleared a lot of that surface stuff and worked through a lot of those traumas, that's when the real deep, ancient, old scar tissue, whether that's at a cellular or a kind of metaphorical or actual level, starts to unravel. So you end up really getting a hold of very fundamental belief systems that really have been programming us for thousands of years. You know, the Catholic Church being one classic example, but there are many. You know, the influences of different heavy-duty belief systems that have been on our planet or operating in our particular country or culture for hundreds of years, that's when we start to really look at, well, is this serving us? Is this taking my power away from me? Is believing in this creating a continual contraction in my energy field and therefore creating some form of pain, whether that's mental, emotional, or physical? Or are these belief systems really expanding me? Are they promoting my full potential? And that's where we really get deep. We really get in deep. I know it seems a little conceptual until you actually get into the circle and taste the process and know what's going on. It's really all just kind of more of a intellectual concept that we're discussing here. But whenever you're sitting in that sacred space and those energies hit up against your body and you begin to actually feel at a cathartic release level, and you see oftentimes visions or memories unlocking in your mind of things that you know you didn't experience personally, but it's highly likely your great-great-great-grandmother did, then it's hard to disbelieve what's happening at that cellular level in yourself.
And it sounds like maybe from what you're saying, okay, so in the first instance, people might work on the traumas from their own lifetime. But it sounds like from what you're saying, some of the traumas from your own lifetime may have resulted because of a programming that has been put in place over hundreds of years. So working on those traumas, you are actually helping that to negate that pre-programming. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely, yes. I would go as far as saying that a majority of what we act out or play out in our lifetime that really doesn't serve us, those things that we know are not serving us, are really the result of learned behaviors, the result of pre-programmed behaviors that, you know, a lot of which are absorbed pre-6 years of age, you know, or in the womb. You know, many scientists now believe that half of our personality is developed in utero, and the rest of it, or a good chunk of the rest of it, is absorbed and developed in the first 6 years of our life, when we're in that hypnagogic state of mind where we're absorbing everything unquestionably. So a lot of who we think we are and the behaviors that we express and exude in our life really were absorbed at that very deep level. And being able to get in there and unravel them and get a hold of them, that's the $1 million quest that I think most of us are on. We use our religions, we use meditation, we use yoga, tai chi, we many, many modes, but really my experience is that we're trying to get a grasp of those parts of us that we know aren't really who we are. They're not really us, you know. What I have learned is I myself can do very little. You know, with my own mind, my own knowledge, I'm limited. But when these remarkable energies are available and accessible to help with this process of transformation, that's when the miracles happen.
Okay. And you talk about these remarkable energies that you talk about. They come from the universe, the earth, all around us. Where do they come from?
I probably don't know where they come from, actually, but the scientist in me would describe them as basically the same thing as that ocean of universal consciousness that we find beneath the level of the quark, for example. So really, it's the intelligence that is behind the creative process. How you want to describe that is really up to yourself, but I don't see it as a particular form. I don't think it comes just from the earth. I don't think it comes just from outer space. I don't think it comes just from me. I feel like it is all things. It's everywhere. It's all encompassing.
Perfect.
It's an intelligence. It's an intelligence is what it is.
Yeah. Perfect. And I think that's what I was tapping into, because some people, it maybe serves them better to think about that energy in the form of angels or specific beings or whatever. What you said resonates with me really, really well, that it is that it's that universal intelligence, that thing that binds us all together. That's beautiful. So you mentioned there briefly about what happens when people come to one of your workshops and the layers that people can go in, the depths of healing that can happen. So what happens in your workshops? Can you tell us, what does one of your workshops look like? I guess, what form does this work take?
So the form, basic form that it takes, if you're coming to a workshop, everyone's sitting in a circle on a chair or on yoga mats, whichever is most comfortable. The facilitator, myself, Dawn, or any other one of our trained facilitators globally, basically sit next to a music player. At first, we just meditate for about a half hour in the morning to spiritual music, some form of uplifting music. And we do this for the purpose of allowing these energies some time to pour through our channel so that they can start penetrating the bodies of those in our presence. And then the next thing that we do is I, as the facilitator, will do an invocation. So I will basically call in these energies in whichever way I see fit. We typically name them the light, or universal intelligence, or the Great Spirit is a common phrase or a terminology that we use. I don't think it really matters. I don't think the intelligence itself cares what it's called. I know it doesn't. I think that we name it just for our benefit. But basically, we call in these energies, and then there's no particular format in terms of note-taking or itinerary or anything like that. It's all based on following what's unfolding in the moment. When you're sitting in that circle, it's undeniable that there is a presence with you and with all of us in that room. You cannot deny it. No matter how skeptical you may be, you will start to feel something happening and stirring inside your physical body and inside your emotions. If you don't, then it's probably only about an hour of moving through some sort of numbness, which is also still that energy working with you before that numbness breaks and you will be in some sort of pure feeling. These energies operate at a feeling level. You know, it's not an intellectual process, although we do speak a lot and we tell our stories and we ask questions and we interact. It's very psycho-spiritual. It's a blend of psychotherapy and spirituality. I've heard many people say it's like doing therapy with God, in the sense that you are kind of in therapy mode, but the difference is that whatever this intelligence is that's with you is cleansing and dissolving and transforming what's coming up as it's coming up, rather than just talking it through. So basically, when you're sitting in the circle and the facilitator, such as myself or Dawn, is working with these energies, one of the primary ways that you could call it the technique portion of this work is to have the client or clients follow us in words out loud as we talk directly to this universal consciousness. I think for the most part, most of us have been a bit wounded because of our religions. The rituals, the dead, empty rituals within our religions can sometimes have an impact and leave us feeling a bit weary of chants and prayers and praying, and it doesn't really work for the most part, really. However, in this work, when we consciously speak to the universe out loud, it always responds instantaneously for whatever reason. Now, that takes trust, and that's not something that everyone can do or access in their first workshop or even in their fifth workshop. For me, it took the whole of my 20s stripping through self-mistrust and mistrust on many different levels and all the traumas and cloaks that I had taken on that really had nothing to do with me before I got to that level where I could really get out of my own way enough and trust that when I asked the universe to do this, it would do it. Mm. So that's something that comes in time. Mm. But when we ask the universe to do something for us, what happens is quite remarkable. You feel the surge of energy instantaneously. You feel it like a swelling inside of your physical body. And then that's when, depending on the severity of the trauma that's being unlocked, you start to go through a catharsis, either individually or often collectively. The whole room starts releasing a trauma at the same time, as I know you've experienced.
Mm, amazing. Okay, so a couple of questions there. The first one is, so you as a facilitator, you said you're guiding the people in the room to follow you in words. And again, I've experienced this and the power of this. And what always amazed me was how you knew what to say. So how do you, is that practice? How do you know where to go with this? How do you know what always seems to be exactly the right thing to say?
Oh my gosh, the $1 million question. I used to wonder the exact same thing about Don. That's what blew me away when I first met him and tasted this work. Within 30 minutes, I was just, he's like a magician. How on earth did he know what to say? After going through this powerful healing process, committing myself to it for a decade and a half, I guess I could answer your question by saying that through all of it, what the intelligence taught me, through Dawn and just in my direct unique love affair with this intelligence, is that there's a language in our universe and it's the language of energy. And there are many languages of communication, right? But it's almost as if God or the creator communicates to and through us through the language of energy, because everything in our universe is made of energy. Mm-hmm. So if we can learn how to interpret and read the language of energy in our physical body and then begin to trust it and back it up, mm-hmm, and speak it and act on it and all those little nuances that we call our intuition, that's the language of energy. The language of energy's primary vehicle for us is our intuition, mm-hmm, which for the most part has been squelched or buried or cut off thanks to old patriarchal religions. Mm-hmm. So in going through this purificational process, what will be reawakened in you is the trust and commitment to your own intuition. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, as I committed to trusting myself, trusting those nuances, those bubbling imprints of information that were coming up inside of me frequently, rather than, oh no, I can't say that. Oh my goodness, I might lose my job. Oh no, I can't say that because that will offend this person or that may hurt that person's feelings. Rather than going with the doubt and the negativity, which is what I learned to do in those old world beliefs, rather than that, I would take the risk and face the fear and see what happened. And always there was a surge of energy that would come behind that action of backing my intuition up. It doesn't mean to say that I was always right. Thank God I had a teacher who had gone through the purificational process long before I came along, that had refined his intuition and the trust of his intuition to keep me on track. And that's really what we use our mentors for, right? So through the process of trusting that intuitive self, you come to eventually be recognized as psychic, you know. But really, you know, I'm constantly nicknamed as a laser beam or a psychic or a psychic hound dog or whatever those funny things might be. But to me, I'm just being myself. And really all I'm doing is keeping my energy freed up as per what I have learned in this transforming cellular memory work, is that if I want to keep my physical body clear of blockages and debris, if I want to keep my mind clear, if I want to keep my creative channel open, then I have work to do. And the work that I have to do is I have to love myself. I have to be committed to backing up the feminine aspect of God as it moves through me in the form of my intuition. And when I do that, when I back her up and I put her first in my life, her being my intuitive self, that's when things start to work. I live then in a state of consistent expansion rather than operating out of fear and self-mistrust and mistrust of her, which is mirrored in our world today, right? As the mistrust of the feminine. Well, when I operate from that place, which is how I was raised and how most of us are raised, that's when I create contraction for myself and I shut down, and then things start to hurt physically and emotionally and mentally. So I have learned and put all my commitment and devotion behind this teaching that Dawn gave me in my early days. I was only, I call myself a baby. I was like 20, 21 years old. I was dealing with healing bulimia. I had bulimia from a very young age, from 13. And I was desperate to heal myself. And I remember sharing, making myself vulnerable in the workshop and saying, you know, I feel like I want to get sick. Can I get some help? And the information that came through Dawn from the universe, this intelligence communicated clearly and said, you need to risk expressing yourself more. You need to speak up more. You need to say what's on your mind, say what you're feeling more. I thought, okay, that's scary. That's really, really scary, but I'll give it a try. So I learned that when I would speak and let that information come out verbally, I would be terrified, but the sensation of needing to binge and vomit would dissipate. So over many years, what I learned was my bulimia was in fact a very precious tool that was like a alarm bells or a signal to tell me that something was off in my own environment. There was something going on somewhere where someone said something that upset me, or something happened that really went against me, and I didn't feel comfortable with it, but I'm too afraid to say anything because of the so-called consequences. And that the only way, if I really, either I go and vomit down the toilet, or I take the risk and face the fear of making myself vulnerable and losing everything by backing up my feminine. So doing that day after day, month after month, year after year, in this remarkable work and in my life in general, in my jobs and everywhere I went, making this my boss rather than any external figure my boss, even though I had many bosses. I just always, Dawn would say, your real boss is the energy, the language of energy. Put that first. It's like, okay, I put that first. And in doing so, it really opened and created this very intuitive, fine-tuned tuning fork that can just beeline right in and pick up on exactly what you're feeling and what everyone's feeling in the room. And with that skill, then I can really work magic. I hope that answers your question.
It does, absolutely. And it's amazing because what it's done is it's taken a bit of the mystery out of the magic. I mean, the idea that we all have this capability, this is a capacity that we have just lost through denying it, but that we could all have the power to refine this. You spoke there about vulnerability and having to make yourself really vulnerable. I mean, I have seen that and experienced that in the workshops, and it seems to be a really important part of that process, of that amazing process of release and transformation that goes on for individuals and as a group. What's between the words and the release, or is there nothing? Can it be that simple?
Well, it's almost as if the universe, this remarkable intelligence, knows that it has my attention. It knows that I'm committed to it. How? I've committed to myself. Because really, myself, the intelligence, there's no separation. I am it and it is me. It is you and you are it. So because it knows that I completely trust myself, which means I completely trust it, it will use my words and it will use my feeling. And the fact that I'm trusting what I'm feeling in relationship to, let's say, an individual that I'm working with in a workshop. And through the means of the spoken word, which is very powerful, and the feeling that and the energy that's pouring in behind those words, that is the unlocking process. It's almost as if it's a dagger of love that just penetrates and spears right through whatever protection, whatever numbness, fear, tension that has and control that has been holding the traumatic memory together in a configuration within the cells. for some reason, it's like popping a balloon. It just cracks that, or cracking a shell. And that's when the person, whether they kind of like it or not, ends up exposing a very vulnerable, raw place, because that control mechanism that has held our traumas intact at a subconscious cellular level gets dissolved. And that control, that tension that we need to hold everything in place, usually is the source of chronic fatigue. It's the source of our physical pains in our shoulders, our migraines, our depression, our self-mistrust, our cancers. I mean, really, depending on the severity of the trauma, it's mirrored in the severity of the control needed to hold it there. So once that is dismantled and unraveled, then you usually, not always, but for the most part, go through a very, very powerful cathartic release where the synapses of that original trauma lets go. What most people experience is the body begins to shake. You feel hot, cold sensations. Muscle groups begin to tighten, then let go quite rapidly at times. It's really a kundalini awakening process. The symptoms that are described when one is feeling the kundalini energy moving through, this is our work. It is a kundalini awakening process. You're feeling it almost from the moment you step into the workshop, if not 2 weeks before it begins, right through until months afterwards. Your kundalini is awakening. And those symptoms of release are often tears and, you know, shedding many tears, deep breathing. It's a very undeniable, tangible, raw, sacred unraveling process. Obviously, we create a very safe container, a very sacred space where confidentiality is of the utmost importance, integrity at the deepest levels. Obviously, that's in the hands of myself as the facilitator and Dawn, but we feel like we do a great job at maintaining that sacredness so that you really can allow the vulnerability that is essential and necessary to access these deep-seated traumas. Mm. You will not ever reach those deep-seated traumas if you are invulnerable. Mm. So vulnerability is definitely one of the foremost keys to our own healing process.
Mm. You mentioned there chronic fatigue as, you know, one particular manifestation of this clampdown. Are there other physical, mental, emotional ailments for which transforming cellular memory is particularly useful?
Well, I'd like to say for almost everything, maybe except obvious injuries such as broken legs and, you know, things that have happened at that level. But even still, I've worked with clients who have been in car accidents and the light has come through and healed those types of things. But primarily, at a physical level, pretty much aches and pains, back pain, tension that is there that doesn't seem to have any kind of understandable root cause. And even if it does, if you're open to the light coming in and working with looking at your own history, looking at your own childhood, going deep, then my experience is, as a teacher of this, that underneath all pain, at the heart of all physical pain, is fear, is the emotion of fear. But that can be so cloaked with all kinds of denial, resistance, shame, all kinds of different layers of stuff can be sandwiched between the original core feeling of fear that is held in the cellular memory and the level of physical pain that you're experiencing. Mm. If you are brave enough to allow the universe to unravel you to the point where you get back to tasting and unlocking that original feeling of fear, then the physical pain will let go. Mm. Mm. So that is the bottom line of how this works, really. It's fear is at the heart of anything that is contracting in our mind, our feelings, or our body. Mm-hmm. So that answers then to what is TCM good for, even at a mental level or an emotional level, pretty much anything psychological, bar, you know, major schizophrenia or, you know, chemical imbalances in the brain that need, you know, psychiatry and whatnot. Aside from that, really any psychological disorder, phobias and depression, all of that, if you're willing to face fear, if you're willing to let the universe in and really work with you, and you're willing to change and you're willing to let go, then miracles are possible. I see them every day.
Okay, so let's say I'm willing to face the fear. You run these group workshops, and I understand that you also do one-on-one work. Can you talk to me about the advantages and disadvantages of each, you know, the power of the group, or what is it that individuals can benefit most from?
Interesting. Well, one-to-one sessions are often great for first-timers who are quite shy, or they have a specific deep issue, or they're public figures. They just basically would rather be in a private setting, which we totally understand and encourage. But oftentimes, those who do one-to-ones, it doesn't take very long before they're jumping into a group setting anyway, primarily because as powerful as one-to-ones are, and they just get to, you know, it is like a laser beam that can just beeline it right into specific issues. Group settings and workshops and retreats have the power of the collective. They have the power of everyone else's experience, everyone else's wisdom too. I mean, we all have so much to offer each other in community. We all have life experiences that we can share with one another. So often the universe, often this intelligence will, as a team effort, work through the group to shine light on a particular issue in an individual. And so we all get to help each other in that way, which can be very beneficial. But not only that, in a group setting, because there's different people with all their personalities, over a period of days, when you have a group of people who are committed to unraveling their ego, unraveling who they're not, and are so brave that they're willing to look in the mirror at the reflection of all these behavior patterns that we all take on that really create pain for self and others. If you have the courage to look at that and say, you know, I'm the custodian and I'm the host, it's in me, it's operating through me, I apologize, you know, I'm deeply sorry, dear self, dear universe, dear friends, for this operating in me, but here you go, great spirit, here you go, dear universe, I'm handing it over to you. Well, we can have the blessing of a group of friends that to help us see that. So that's the benefit of group work. That's one of the many benefits of group work. Not only that, but when you have 50 people or 20 people or whatever the number may be, all focused on the light for days in a row, that light just keeps exponentially getting stronger and stronger to the point where you end up on quite a natural high at the end of the experience. A very powerful high.
Wow, great. Okay, look, I'd say anyone that is listening now wants to know, where can I find one of these workshops? How do I get a hold of Jen Hansen?
Well, first of all, you could go to our website, jenhanson.net, jenhanson.net, or donhanson.com, donhanson.com. New website coming soon, by the way. Just throw that in there. We also are currently working internationally in Asia, Thailand, Bali. In the springtime, Dawn is there as we speak. Dawn and I are both working in Europe, many different locations across Europe at different times of the year. So you can check on our website for the workshop schedule. In the USA, we work in New York City. I have ongoing groups every week here in Texas, and I will be starting a cyber group within the next month where people internationally can join in just as soon as I get the technical aspects configured. So we're trying to make this work at the light as accessible as we possibly can to as many people in the world. Yeah.
Great. Having experienced it, I know it's of tremendous benefit, and it's great to see you putting so many different things in place that people can access it. And I have one last question for you then too. You mentioned at the start that you have trained facilitators too that work in other parts of the world. Can they be found through your website too?
They certainly can. There's a partners page where you can get a short bio on the different individuals who have trained with us for many, many years that are trusted friends, as well as, you know, trained clients. And yes, everyone, however, just so that, you know, we all are aware that our talents are unique. So how this intelligence moves through each of us, it's a very individual experience. It's always a little bit different. So somebody might utilize their transforming cellular memory training along with another modality or alternative therapy that they love. This we encourage and promote. So really it's a matter of you just tuning in and feeling out what feels best for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jen. It's been really, really great talking to you. And I so look forward to getting to one of your workshops.
Likewise, Sarah. Thank you more.